The hour was approaching at which the continental breakfast begins, or rather ceases, to tell, and the ladies bought some hot chestnut paste out of a little shop because it looked so typical. It gave them strength to drift into another piazza, large and dusty, on the farther side of which rose a black-and-white facade of surpassing ugliness. Miss Lavish spoke to it dramatically. It was Santa Croce. The adventure was over.
"Stop a minute. Let those two people go on, or I shall have to speak to them. I do detest conventional intercourse. Nasty, they're going into the church, too. Oh, the Britisher abroad."
"We sat opposite them at dinner last night. They've given us their rooms. They were so very kind."
"Look at their figures," laughed Miss Lavish. "They walk through my Italy like a pair of cows. It's very naughty of me, but I would like to set an examination paper at Dover and turn back every tourist who couldn't pass it."
"What would you ask us?" Miss Lavish laid her hand pleasantly on Lucy's arm, as if to suggest that she, at all events, would get full marks. In this exalted mood, they reached the steps of the great church and were about to enter it when Miss Lavish stopped, squeaked, flung up her arms, and cried,
"There goes my local colour box! I must have a word with him!"
And in a moment she was away over the piazza, nor did she slacken speed till she caught up with an old man with white whiskers. Lucy waited for nearly 10 minutes. Then she began to get tired. The beggars worried her, the dust blew in her eyes, and she remembered that a young girl ought not to loiter in public places. She descended slowly into the piazza with the intention of rejoining Miss Lavish, who was really almost too original. But at that moment, Miss Lavish and her local colour box moved also and disappeared down a side street. Tears of indignation came to Lucy's eyes, partly because Miss Lavish had jilted her, partly because she had taken her Baedeker. How could she find her way home? How could she find her way about in Santa Croce? A few minutes ago she had been all high spirits, talking as a woman of culture, and half persuading herself that she was full of originality. Now she entered the church depressed and humiliated, not even able to remember whether it was built by the Franciscans or the Dominicans. She watched the tourists. Their noses were as red as their Baedekers, so cold was Santa Croce. She beheld the horrible fate that overtook 3 papists, 2 he-babies and a she-baby, who began their career by sousing each other with the holy water, and then proceeded to the Machiavelli Memorial, dripping but hallowed. The smallest he-baby stumbled over one of the sepulchral slabs so much admired by Mr. Ruskin, and entangled his feet in the features of a recumbent bishop. Protestant as she was, Lucy darted forward. She was too late. He fell heavily upon the prelate's upturned toes.
"Hateful bishop!"
exclaimed the voice of old Mr. Emerson, who had darted forward also.
"Hard in life, hard in death!"
The child screamed frantically at these words, and at these dreadful people who picked him up, dusted him, and rubbed his bruises.
"Look at him,"
said Miss Emerson to Lucy.
"A baby hurt, cold, and frightened. But what else can you expect from a church?"
The child's legs had become as melting wax. Each time that old Mr. Emerson and Lucy set it erect, it collapsed with a roar. Fortunately, an Italian lady, who ought to have been saying her prayers, came to the rescue. By some mysterious virtue, which mothers alone possess, she stiffened the little boy's backbone and imparted strength to his knees. He stood.
"You are a clever woman," said Mr. Emerson. "You have done more than all the relics in the world. I'm not of your creed, but I do believe in those who make their fellow creatures happy."
"Niente," said the Italian lady, and returned to her prayers. "I'm not sure she understands English," suggested Lucy.